Rev it up and welcome to Cars Yeah, show number 2280. Today we're going to be talking with somebody, well, you all probably know him, but he's going to be sharing a new build from a company that's taking the old and making it kind of new. So be prepared to be inspired.
This is Cars Yeah, where you'll enjoy interviews with inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Mark Green is here to provide you with a fuel injection of automotive inspiration. So get in, sit down, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride here on Cars Yeah.
Hello, inspiring automotive enthusiasts, and welcome to Cars Yeah. Today I'm in, I'm back in Los Angeles, actually Burbank, with a very special guest by the name of Chris Jacobs. Yeah, you'll know Chris. Chris, welcome back to Cars Yeah. Do you have it in gear, and are you ready to release the clutch?
Thanks, Mark. Yes, I am. I have it revved up. I'm redlining, and let's smoke some tires.
Definitely, certainly that. Now, I didn't ask you this last time you were on the show because it's been a long time since we spoke here on Cars Yeah, although we've seen each other at many events. You were guest number 539 back in June of 2016. A lot has changed in your life since 2016, but is there one little thing that maybe somebody like you that's so well-known could share with our listeners that people don't know about you?
Yeah, it has been a long time. Wow, almost 7 years. It's hard to believe. I'm a dad now.
Yeah,
my little daughter Scarlett just turned 1 year old.
Cool.
So she is the apple of my eye, and you know the focus of my life. She's an amazing little girl. She's really, really happy. And the cool part is, every time I put her in the driver's seat of a car, she immediately grabs the steering wheel. So I think she's got a little. Got a little car lover in her DNA.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, Chris and I were talking before the show, and he's going through something. I mean, being a new father, I'm going through being a new grandfather, and it's kind of fun to see these generational changes. I feel so old now that I say that, but it's really fun to see this. Yeah, and your little girl, Scarlett, oh my gosh, she was smiling from day one. You see some babies that don't smile till a little bit longer, but that little girl has a permanent smile on her face, but no doubt that's because of her parents, because you two seem to be very positive people, always smiling. That's my interpretation for you. You're welcome. So congratulations.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. First thing every morning is I go over to her crib and I grab her and, you know, for a change in a bottle. And she's just got a big grin on her face when she sees me coming. So that energizes me and motivates me for the rest of the day.
Well, it will. And being the father of a girl, you're in for a lot of wonderful times throughout her life and your life as well. So again, congratulations to you both for that.
Thanks, man.
You know, one other thing that I think a lot of people may not know about you that I've learned since you were last on the show, you went to school, studied law, and passed the California bar exam back in 1995, but law wasn't really in your future, but I kind of scratch my head and I go, this is an interesting transition from law into television personality. Can you tell me a little bit about why you made that major shift?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was planned out. I mean, when I was in college, you know, I wasn't really ready to jump into the real world. So I said, you know, I want to further my education somehow, and law just kind of appealed to me. I wasn't going to go to business school. I wasn't going to go to medical school. So I figured I'd, you know, give law school a try. And, you know, it appealed to my right-brainedness, you know, a lot of reading and writing and regurgitation, which is something I'm pretty good at. I was an English major in undergrad. So yeah, I sped through law school. I made it through in 2.5 years.
Wow.
Because I took two full summer sessions. And then, yeah, I mean, no one was more surprised than me that I actually passed the bar on my first try. I still consider that one of my greatest accomplishments.
That's
academically,
awesome.
For sure. But then, yeah, and then I once I had my education out of the way, I was ready to start chasing the dream I always had of being an actor. That's what I wanted to be growing up. I always wanted to be an actor. And so I did that for about 8 years, from 95 to 2003. And then in 2003... my agent sent me on an audition for a show that they needed someone who was going to be able to improvise and play pranks on people. I went in on that audition. I had no idea what the show was or what it was for. And, you know, the stars aligned and I got the job, and that was overhauling, and that changed my life. And that really transitioned me from being a traditional actor, which is something I was, you know, just kind of run of the mill at. I wasn't really making any big waves being an actor, to being a host or a personality, which is something I feel like I'm a little bit better at. I play myself pretty well.
You do.
So, you know, just kind of recognize that I had that skill set, and, you know, the rest is history. And it's hard to believe it's been almost 20 years since we started shooting Overhauling in October of 2003.
Yeah.
Incredible how long it's been.
Oh, it's incredible. It's awesome. Well, thanks for taking us through that. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction to set us up for what we're going to be focusing on today. Chris Jacobs, as we know, is the host and television personality that we all love and has a great passion for automobiles. You've seen him on TV show Overhauling, as he mentioned. Another great show, which my wife really loved because she had some relations with this, a long-lost family, as well as hosting Amicum Auctions, SEMA Live on Motor Trend, The Insider. He's been on Entertainment Tonight, Speed Freaks, and of course his popular Dream Collections with Chris Jacobs. Chris is also a spokesperson for numerous brands, including Finale Speed, a company that builds carbon fiber bodied 69 Camaros and more. They debuted at Barrett Jackson this past January. What a debut that was. The car was it's the weight of a Miata. Imagine that, with a modern 650 horsepower LT4 drivetrain. Oh my gosh. Talk about burning rubber. Finale Speed. They also built a 1970 Dodge Charger, and they have plans to build more bespoke muscle machines in the future. We'll learn more about Chris in just a moment and this incredible car that they're building. But first, a word from our sponsor. So give them a little love if you would, and we'll be right back. Years ago, when it was time to renew my collector car insurance policy, my carrier's rates went up, way up. But my usage was the same, and I never made a claim. I didn't even have a ticket. So what's with that? So I turned to American Collectors Insurance. Has your collector car insurance recently raised your rates for no good reason? Tired of paying an annual membership fee? Then it's time to look around and call American Collectors Insurance. I shopped around, I asked friends for recommendations, and found a winner that I can trust. And boy, I'm glad I did. I saved hundreds of dollars every year and slept better at night knowing my baby was properly insured. American Collectors Insurance have been protecting vehicles since 1976. They provided me with an agreed value insurance policy backed by their history of taking great care of their clients. What could be better than that? So give them a call and ask for a quote today. 866-ACI-YAH. That's 866-224-9324. And protect the ones you love, like I did, with American Collectors Insurance. Classic car insurance designed by collectors for collectors. Are you thinking about selling your classic or exotic car? Do you want to list your vehicle at an auction but aren't too sure about where or how to start? The pros at classic.com, well, they can help you out. There's a lot involved in putting your car up for auction. And if you want to represent your ride in its best light, you'll need quality photographs, videos, plus an accurate and detailed write-up, not to mention being available to handle the tough questions from qualified buyers. The process can be a lot to deal with, and mistakes can cost you thousands of dollars. Your car is unique, and your marketing plan should be too. My friends at classic.com, well, they're here to help. They'll handle all the details, from an inspection, from a qualified professional, detailed photo shoot, an accurate written description, and your car will be represented to an extensive market by the pros at classic.com. Be smart and do it right. Talk to a pro about selling your car today. Go to classic.com/carsyeah. That's classic.com/carsyeah. And tell them Mark sent you. So, Chris, I want to talk about this brand that you're representing, because it's something I've been seeing. You are so active out there. Television, the social media world. It's like I see you everywhere. You don't stop moving your legs. I don't know how you have time to do everything you do. But this company, Finale Speed, oh, my gosh, watching Barrett Jackson and seeing this car roll up. And we're seeing some of this happening. If you go all the way back to Rob Dickinson's Singer Porsches and what he did there. And since then, I've had so many people on the show that are building insane cars, bespoke cars and things. But what they're doing there is pretty darn unique and special. And I wanted to have you talk a little bit about what's happening there, why you chose this brand to be a part of. I think they made a great choice in you, obviously. But can you talk about how the relationship started? And then we'll talk a little bit about what they're building, because these things are, they're sick.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for the comparison to Singer Porsche. That's very lofty praise.
Pretty cool cars.
Yeah. Finale Speed is a company that I was very excited to be associated with and get involved with. And, you know, I mean, calling me the spokesperson is a little bit of a misnomer. I'm involved more intimately with the company. I would say I'm a partner there.
Nice.
And my job is to bring the word to the people and, you know, drum up business, obviously. But I first became aware of Finale at SEMA 22. And they actually had a rolling 70 Charger in the Dodge display. Mm-hmm. And how that happened was Tim Kaniskis, you know, who's obviously head of SRT, saw the product and he was like, wow, I want this in my booth. He was so impressed with the exposed weave carbon fiber 70 body that he wanted to show it to the people right in Dodge display at SEMA, which you were at SEMA, you saw it. It was an amazing
Insane.
Display.
Yeah.
They took over the GM space, which is probably the premier space in the entire convention.
Oh yeah.
So I immediately fell in love with the car. I started talking to the guys who built the car, and you know, we kind of just like had a instant bromance with each other and got in touch with them immediately when I got home from SEMA. And ever since then, we've just kind of been fostering and developing our relationship. So I used my connections to get us into Barrett-Jackson Scottsdale in January. And we debuted a complete car there, which was the 69 carbon fiber Camaro. And that got some really, really great attention there. In fact, a few weeks ago, we brought the car over to Leno's garage and did an episode with Jay.
Nice.
Where he drove the 69 Camaro. Had a blast doing it. And as you mentioned, the power to weight ratio is insane. By mimicking all the panels of the 69 Camaro, we shed about 750 pounds off the car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So carbon fiber, it really is just an unbelievable material. And there's a reason that it's so popular in the automotive industry and other industries, which, you know, require less weight and more rigidity. So we're planning a lot of great things for the future. We're going to continue the production of both the 69 Camaro and the 70 Charger. And because the bodies of those cars are so similar to their companion years, for the Charger, you know, 68 and 69, and for the Camaro, 67 and 68, we can pretty much give the customer whatever they're looking for. You know, obviously the 69 Camaro is very, very popular, and those are the molds that we pulled, so those are ready to go. We've got panels to start making cars right away. Same with the 70 Charger. So we're kind of a little bit of throwback to craftsmanship and the coach builders, mm-hmm. where a customer comes to us and we can essentially give them a menu as far as what drivetrain they want, what body line they want, what interior they want, what stereo they want, brakes, wheels, exhaust, and we'll build it for them. The cars that we build is kind of the calling card, where the 70 Charger and the 69 Camaro, just as an example of what we can do for the customer, but we can pretty much do anything. Our deal with Dodge is not limited just to the Charger. They're so behind us that they say that they'll give us a license to do any Dodge model that we want.
Oh
so
my gosh.
I'm looking to do a Super B. I want to do an A-body Barracuda. You know, I've got plans to use that licensing agreement to its fullest.
Oh my gosh. You know, this is a neat trend that I see happening, and where people can go back in time and have that old car they lusted after when they were young. But a lot of the challenges, and I've had lots of old cars, is old cars are old cars. And while they're great and wonderful, they're lacking in a lot of ways. And one of the ways that many of them lack is just safety features. Also stopping power. I mean, those big horsepower cars can't stop very well. And you got to kind of be very careful with them and so forth. But these are basically like taking an old car, but making it all brand new, and you can do anything you want. I mean, what could be better? And I understand you guys take over 2,500 plus hours to build a car. I mean, these things are done right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not a simple process. And you know, I just want to mention too, that we're not just a carbon fiber car company. We'll also build you a steel car if you want that. In fact, we've got two at the shop right now that are being built that are steel cars. Mm-hmm. One's a 68 Camaro and the other is a 69 Roadrunner. So, you know, whatever the customer wants, we just prefer carbon fiber just because it's so cool to work with. And, and again, the, you know, the weight reduction and just the look of the exposed weave carbon fiber. You know, a lot of people came up to the Camaro at Barrett-Jackson and I kind of stood back and just listened to them talk about it. A lot of people thought it was a wrap. And that's because the weaves are perfectly lined up between the panels of the car.
Oh my gosh.
The hood and the fender, the weave lines line up perfectly. And that's, you know, that's done intentionally, obviously.
Right.
And that's something you have to pay attention to from the very beginning. And our partners at Brothers Composites do a great, great job. I mean, those guys are just ultimate craftsmen. They pay very, very close attention to detail and getting those weaves proper and properly lined up. But yeah, I mean, you know, you called it a trend, and it's funny because we've been calling this a trend for 15 years now with the modern components and the old school styling. It's not really a trend anymore. It's kind of like, you know, it's just what's expected, because really there's always been two camps, right? There's restoration and there's modification. And, you know, there's that term Restomod, which is a little bit of both. But I love restorations. You know, I love seeing a car in the exact form that it rolled off the factory line on, you know, especially if it's something, you know, 1 year production, like an AAR CUDA or something like that, you know, a Daytona, which is, you know, only 503 produced. So you want to see it in that restored time capsule phase.
Right.
Really, what you want when you're driving the car is what you're talking about, safety and creature comforts, right? You
yep.
want to be able to stop the car, and you want to be able to be comfortable in your seat, and you want the window cranks to operate properly.
Sure.
So that's really, you know, what it's all about. And our cars are VIN cars. Each car has a VIN, got a title. There's no question about, you know, the origin of the car. And we use just enough of it to, you know, have the spirit of the original car in there.
But right.
Besides that, it's a completely customized bespoke vehicle.
Brand new car. Yeah. You know, you talk about, yeah, the word trend, and you're right. I used to be a diehard perfectionist about cars being all original. And then I started meeting people and looking at cars they were building. I mentioned Rob with Singer, obviously, is like over the top crazy. And I told Rob, when he's been on the show a few times, I said, you know, the few times I waste $2 on a lottery ticket, I write one word on the back of it, Singer. Come on, baby. You know, I don't think I've ever won a buck. But anyway, it's a nice thing to dream about. But some of the other guys that started doing this a while ago, and one, you know, Rod Emery. His dad started building like the ultimate outlaw type car. And I used to think, oh gosh, how can you do that to a 356? Well, I went to Rod's shop and drove a couple of his cars. And I went, oh my gosh. And then I went over to John Wilhoit's and drove some of his modified cars with 2.2 motors in them. And I'm in an entirely new camp now with what you guys are doing at Finale Speed and so many other people are doing. And maybe it's my age group, I don't know, but you're a lot younger than me. You could almost... You'd almost be my son, maybe. I don't know. Am I that old? Maybe. But
I'm not that young, and you're not that old.
Okay.
I don't know,
but, well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. But, you know, are you seeing this younger group of people coming into the car market now? And we've seen it with the auctions just the first 3 months of, we just got off Amelia, of the cars that are being sold and people buying cars. And there's this younger group of people buying cars, millennials and even younger than that. Are you seeing those... that era of people embracing this concept versus maybe like the way I used to be, like it's got to be original, it's got to be old school?
Yeah, you know, yes and no. First of all, the young generation is very strong. And we saw that at SEMA with the Young Guns competition. The guys who were in that in it for the prize there were all in their early to mid-20s, which is so encouraging to see. And I think that there may be less of a passion for originality in the younger generation, just because the cars that were their dream cars in their generation, you know, you see the kind of the car lover generation is on a constant move too. That's why you're not seeing so many, like, you know, 32s and even Tri-5s now are kind of phasing out, just because of the guys that loved those cars
are phasing out.
Younger guys are phasing out themselves.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, my generation, my favorite car in high school was the 87 Grand National. Mm-hmm. And I had one for a while just because I needed to have my high school dream car. But an 87 Grand National in its original form isn't as exciting as like an AAR CUDA in its original form. It's just not, it doesn't speak to the kind of, you know, nostalgia bit of my heart. I was much more enthralled with Sean Smith's Grand National that he built for Kevin Hart. That was Magnaflow booth at SEMA.
Oh, yeah.
That is an unbelievable car. And so as far as that goes, I am in the modified camp all the way. Mm-hmm. You know, for restorations, I'm more about the early 70s, late 60s muscle. That's what I like to see being restored, just because those are true time capsules. And you know, that's when the days of car manufacturing, before all the emissions regulations and safety regulations, so style prevailed. Whereas you get to the 80s and safety and regulations are more prevalent. And so the cars, you know, kind of they lost that passion, that artistry.
Sure.
And that's what you really want to see in a restoration. So the bottom line is, it's a car. The car lover loves that car no matter what conditions it's in. They want to go up to it. They want to see it. They want to look at it, whether it's been restored or it's been modified. You want to see either its originality or what's been done to it.
Right. Well, you think about the 69 Camaro that you guys are doing and the 70 Dodge. I mean, those are two iconic years and ages of cars. But again, you're right. Even if you look at the original cars, even if they're restored right, panels don't quite fit together very well. Things don't line up. That's just kind of the way they were. They were mass produced, but you guys are creating works of art, I really think. And when you add the carbon fiber element and the way you're lining the weave up, I mean, that kind of attention to detail to me puts it in an entirely different category, not only of driving fun, but adding that nostalgia to new world craftsmanship, which I think is just fantastic. You know, I always like to ask questions about challenges that people have faced. When you look at what you guys are building there, what would you say is one of the biggest challenges of putting these cars together?
Well, I would say probably the biggest challenge that we're facing is availability of the parts that we need. You know, we just started working with Roadster Shop, and obviously in my opinion, you know, they're the best in the business. You've got probably three or four shops that are making chassis that are considered the best, and of those three or four, I consider personally Roadster Shop to be the best. But they are in such demand that I have had to rely on my relationship with them to get a chassis out the door more quickly than normal. So I really appreciate my friendship with those guys, because, you know, they want to be in partnership with us, and so they're moving quickly to get us our chassis. Yeah, that's the biggest challenge, I would say. And then, you know, just the finer details, like you were saying, you know, we really pay attention to the small things, because that's what people are going to notice. And hopefully they won't notice, because it's done right. You know, my good buddy Chip Foose always told me that, you know, when he modifies a car, he wants to do it in a fashion that people won't notice the change until it's sitting next to a stock model of that car. So we want it to be pleasing to the eye. And that's why, you know, for us, like, lining up the weaves in the carbon fiber is just, that's a no-brainer. You have to do that, because if it's not done properly, that's going to jump out as a glaring error. But if it's done right, you don't notice it right away until someone either points it out to you, or you really get into the nitty gritty of the details. So the challenge for us is finishing the car properly, making sure all the gaps are lined, making sure all the panels are, you know, tight and installed properly, and that there's no, you know, nothing's loose and nothing's uncomfortable, you know, because essentially the cars that we build aren't for show, they're for go. And when we want the people behind the wheel to be comfortable and have a pleasant and incredible driving experience. And that's why, you know, we build the cars to the level that we do.
Well, you're doing an awesome job. Yeah, I'd like to ask guests about a special vehicle in their life, but I'm going to hold your feet a little bit to the fire here. If I could provide you with either the Dodge Charger at Vanalla Speed or the 69 Camaro, which one would you take, at least today?
Oh, well, I think anybody who knows me knows I'm a Mopar guy all day long.
I kind of figured that's what you'd say.
It's the Charger for me, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I want to get outside the box with the cars that we're building. You know what I mean? Obviously, the B-body of the late 60s and early 70s is one of the most iconic styles that Mopar ever put out. And probably the 69 Camaro is the pinnacle year for that car, and maybe even GM overall. So I want to do things that people, you know, don't anticipate, like an A-body Barracuda, you know, that's done in carbon fiber, or a Super B, 70 Super B in carbon fiber. Things that you don't anticipate. Maybe a Duster or a demon, you know, a first gen demon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to put out products that, I mean, I've seen a million 69 Camaros, you know, and I love ours and it looks amazing in carbon fiber, but my imagination just runs wild when I think about the possibilities.
That's the challenge when you've been around as many cars as you've been around, especially when we see you, you know, on the auction line with all the cars that are coming through. I mean, it gets a little overwhelming.
A dream job of all dream jobs. Yeah. I mean, I'm just a kid in a candy store at the Mecum auction.
Your cheeks must hurt at the end of those things with all the smiles that are coming on.
My cheeks hurt and my camera is filled with photos. Yeah. I must take 1,000 photos at every auction.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thank goodness we got these little phones in our hands. We can do that kind of stuff now. So since you were last on the show, I've got this master's degree, a doctorate as a car psychologist, let's say. And I'm going to crawl into your head a little bit here, Chris. I didn't ask you this when you were on the show before.
All right.
If you were reincarnated, pun intended, manifest as a vehicle. And this isn't what you want to be, though. This is how you perceive the man in the mirror, who you really are deep down inside as a human, as a car guy. What would you be, but more importantly, why?
Well, I would probably have to be the car that's in my collection that I'll never sell. An air-cooled 3.2 911. It's the most reliable car that I've ever owned. It's sporty, it's timeless, and it's iconic.
Of course, when I've been asked that question, I'm the same way, maybe a little bit older, although I did have a 3.2. So, but again, I'm older than you, so I go back to the long hoods of the 70s and so forth. But
oh, yeah.
Awesome cars. I mean, just bulletproof motors, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, especially as you get into the mid to late 80s, you know, I mean, I think in 87 was the introduction of the G50 transmission. Yep. And that really was the kind of the taking off point of the, you know, the kind of the pinnacle of the air cooled. And then, you know, of course, right now, like the 993s, that model's on fire.
Yeah.
And you know, what Singer's been doing with the 964s, those are in high demand. So I'm a 911 fanatic. I love it. I bought mine back in 2005 as kind of an homage to my dad, who always had 911s as I was growing up. I mean, I'm wearing a t-shirt with a long hood on it right now. So nice. I love the long hoods too. And man, the prices have just been insane. You know, if you track those on some of the various online auction sites, the one market that really hasn't softened at all has been the air-cooled market.
I know. It's crazy. I sold my beloved Orange Crush back last summer on Bring a Trailer. It was an 87 Turbo, rare colored car, as you've seen. And I mean, the number I got for it was insane. Luckily, it went to a local collector. He's just up north here. And he said, hey, Mark, you can come see your car anytime. Drive it whenever you want, which is kind of cool. So now it's living in a much fancier garage than mine because he's got lots of cars. But I've had a 964. These are all daily drivers too. Drove a 964 for years every day. Had a C4S, a 98 C4S that was my daily driver. I mean, just all those cars, yeah, they just keep getting better and more fun. But I go back to that 3.2, or even I have a friend with an SC that is just a lovely, lovely car.
The SC, the last year the SC was 83. Yeah, the Carrera was... Carrera was reintroduced in 84. Yeah.
You're right. Because I had an 84 Cabriolet when I lived in California. I drove that car once 300 days without putting the top up. And it was my daily driver.
Nice.
I drove from Del Mar to downtown San Diego every day. Yeah. Just that was another very, very cool car. One thing I would love to have you share is a great book. Now, you mentioned earlier on being a law student, you got to read a lot of stuff. Is there a great book maybe that you've enjoyed on your many travels, maybe on a flight or something that you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, years and years ago, before it kind of became popular in the last couple of years, the story of Ford versus Ferrari was first told in a book by A.J. Bean called Go Like Hell.
Go Like Hell, yep.
And I fell in love with that book. And if you've seen the movie, you're only really getting part of the story. You know, Hollywood took its liberties with the Ford versus Ferrari story. If you really want to watch something that tells the true story, Adam Carolla has a documentary called The 24-Hour War, which is phenomenal. I'm a huge documentary buff. That's one of my favorite ones. So yeah, so Go Like Hell. I mean, when I first read Go Like Hell, I thought to myself, it's like, man, people need to see this story. And so, you know, I was a little late to the game, obviously, and something had already maybe been in the works. But I mean, I probably read that book 15 years ago and had that thought. But yeah, so if I'm going to recommend a car book, that would be it. Go Like Hell.
Yeah, for sure. I've had AJ on the show a couple times. He's written some amazing books and even some wonderful books that aren't related to cars, which are just fascinating. I mean, the guy likes history for sure. So you listeners can find all his shows in the Cars Yeah show notes page on the Cars Yeah website. So today we're going to have a little fun. I'm going to enable you to go on what I call the ultimate drive. I'm going to buy any car in the world and park it in your garage. You can take it anywhere. But here's the key. You can take anyone with you, even somebody from the past who's no longer with us, which opens up a world of unique passengers or drivers if you want this person driving. So if I could make this happen for you, Chris, what would the ultimate drive look like for you? I think it would change probably every day, but let's just say for today.
Oh, man. Can I have two?
You can have whatever you want, buddy.
I'd really like two.
Since you've been on the show
I'll take
twice.
This is the pair that I would take.
Okay.
I would take first the car that's known as the Black Ghost, which is going to be going across the auction block at Mecum in Indianapolis this summer, which is, you know, it's a 70 Dodge Hemi Challenger RTSE, and it was known as the Black Ghost on the streets of Detroit back in the 70s.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a very famous car. You know it if you're a Mopar guy. So I'd love to drive that with Godfrey, the original owner, in Detroit. And just have him tell me the stories as we drove around.
Wow.
And then I think the second car that I would want that new Singer Turbo Study, which debuted at the Quail.
Yeah.
People also saw it at Lift Cocult.
Yeah.
Down in the South Bay, and they're actually doing a cabriolet version of that car too, which is insane. But I'll take the coupe.
Okay.
Just because that Seafoam Green just spoke to me at the Quail, and I'd love to drive around with Rob Dickinson and just talk cars and music.
Yeah.
And I love the story of how he named the company, you know, after Norbert Singer and him being a singer himself. It was kind of like the perfect name of the company. And so I'm, you know, I play guitar and piano myself. And so I'd love to just talk cars and music with Rob and especially drive around in that Turbo Study.
Oh, man, you're not a cheap date, my friend. Holy cow. Two pricey cars. Two pricey.
Hey, you said you had unlimited budget.
I do. I do. I have a big checkbook here. One of those big golfer checks, you know, with a lot of zeros on it. So, wow. Two, you know, interesting selection. Two very different cars, but I get it. And, you know, we're still going old school here, which ties back to Finale Speed and what you guys are doing there. So, very cool. Well, I really appreciate you taking time with me today. Before I let you go, could you share one final, maybe parting words of wisdom or inspiration for our listeners today?
Yeah, you know, the industry and the hobby is so strong, and it's all based on one thing, which is the love for the car. So, you know, there's a lot of trolls out there, a lot of haters, a lot of critics, but just remember that we're all united by the love of the car.
Yep.
You know, don't make fun of my Mopar. I won't make fun of your Chevy or your Ford because I have respect for you.
Yeah.
And I hope you have respect for the stuff that I love. So just remember that. If it's got four wheels and an engine, that's why we love it.
Well, absolutely. And you touched on something here, and I've heard this over and over again here with so many people I've talked to. Cars are really about the people because the cars are just the catalyst that bring all of us together. Look at all the cars and coffee, the auctions, Mecum auctions. I mean, all the different events, SEMA, these car shows, they bring people together. And when we all come together, even though we haven't seen each other in a long time, we're like buddies again. You know, men, women, the younger group coming in, kids. I mean, it's all about the people. So nice way.
It's a family reunion.
It is every time. How can people learn more about Finale Speed and about you, Chris?
Well, you can go to finalespeed.com or on social media. Our Instagram handle is @FinaleSpeed. My personal Instagram is @ChrisJacobs70. And on Twitter, I'm @ChrisJacobs. So look me up. Send me a message. Let's talk cars.
Absolutely. He's easy to find. I want to do a big shout out to my friend Kevin at Con Media, all the guys at Con Media and women that bring so many great guests here. Thank you. You guys did it again here with Chris. Chris, thanks for coming back to Cars Yeah, sharing and getting an update. Again, congratulations on being a dad. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful part of your life. Until you and I talk again, my friend, I'll see you down the road, hopefully in a Finale Speed Dodge Charger. Ooh, that'd be nice.
Thanks, Mark. Much appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. For several years now, you've heard me talk about Linkage Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the start. Their talented and creative team brings you a spectacular publication and website that shares the automotive passion from a worldwide perspective. Linkage is about driving, restoring, collecting, and firsthand experience at collector car auctions and more. They bring you real-world values plus rational, experienced opinions on the current markets. They cover the automotive world and the people who share our passions. And Linkage Magazine has grown, mailing you 6 issues annually. Join me on this journey with Linkage. They're geared for the automotive life. You can subscribe at linkagemag.com. If your car started today, well, thank a tech. If that truck delivering your goods today got to your home or your business, thank a tech. If that airplane you rode in took off and landed safely, and if that boat you're riding in arrived at the dock safe and sound, that's right, thank a tech. One thing the pandemic has taught us is that great techs keep America rolling. They are essential workers and we need them. Support career and technical education by getting involved with TechForce Foundation. It's a Cars Yeah charity of choice. Learn more at techforce.org today.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's ride here at Cars Yeah. Drive on over to CarsYeah.com to find show notes and inspiring automotive fun. Download your free copy of Filler Up, a fun book filled with gorgeous photographs of fuel filler fun, including quotes from more inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Download your copy today, and we'll see you next time on Cars Yeah.